some old magazine. New York's gonna pass it down like I ain't never seen. Don't y'all think this outlaw bitch done got out of hand? What started out to be a joke, alone on a mistake.
These are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. Hello again, everybody. Bo James with a new episode of Outlaws to Independence for you. And we're going to go back through my life, some special dates, people, places, and events from May's of the past. John and I were not able to work it out a schedule to get an episode out, so I'm going to the Patreon archives. And don't think that I'm going to keep giving you free stuff from the Patreon. This stuff that is being put on these episodes, Outlaws to Independence, is a few years old, so there's always new stuff, but this is some of the stuff that you can get. This is kind of a tease for the Patreon, patreon.com/kingofkingsport, $2.99 a month. And as this drops across all platforms on Thursday, there will have been a new episode of the Patreon come out the night before, talking about special dates in April through the years of East Tennessee wrestling history. And I got a wild story that I'm telling on that episode. If you have not subscribed, patreon.com/kingofkingsport. Please subscribe through the website, not through all the other stuff, because if you use Apple to subscribe to it, they take an even bigger cut. So just go to the website when you do the subscription, then you can listen to it on just about anything. Got a few updates we're going to get to in a minute. I want to make this real clear at the beginning. Throughout the episode in the archive stuff, you will hear me talk about the Southern States Wrestling Network. And that was a streaming service that we had through PivotShare for a few years. And we put so much content on that and had people all around the world watching it. And it started as a revenue income but it became a work of love because it was my chance to show the world my friends and my life's work and my heroes that were no longer with us anymore. But we're gradually starting to put a lot of this stuff on YouTube, and some of the events that I will talk about today will go up in May. I had some stuff I wanted to put on the Southern States Wrestling YouTube, some classic footage for April, but the two events that I wanted, I couldn't find them. I have so much video stuff here, I guess they were mislabeled, I don't know, because I looked for days. But May, I'm going to load you up, and you're going to hear me talk about a lot of it, especially May of 96. What a big month that was for us. But we're going to relive some history here, and I'm going to break a rule here a little bit, because this deal when we started Outlaws to Independence was to be 1999 and backwards of Outlaws to Independence. But there'll be some early 2000 stuff on here talking about Wahoo McDaniels, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Jimmy Valiant, Tracy Smothers, other people. So we're going to break that rule for an episode of Outlaws to Independence. But it is telling you a lot of history and a lot of great East Tennessee independent wrestling history here, and the Hall of Fame stuff will be covered here. So got a lot of great stuff to talk about here. Want to tell you real fast, YouTube, just look up Southern States Wrestling. Please, if you like something on there, please share it, especially the stuff that is current, the legacy stuff that is current right now, what we're doing. We're hundreds of people watch a week, but we want to build it and build it bigger, and we got a lot of eyes on us and a lot of stuff going on I wished I could tell you about, but I can't. But if you could share it, hit the thumbs up and hit the subscribe button on the Southern States Wrestling YouTube channel, that would help us tremendously. And hopefully soon I will be able to tell you what is going on and why that is so important. Facebook, Southern States Wrestling, X, Instagram, SSW Wrestling 1. I'm going to get those plugs in because I always posting stuff, history stuff and current stuff on all that stuff that you can look up. This, you will tell I get excited in these archives talking about certain people and the family business, because this is the family business. And I had a great comment here on Outlaws to Independence from a great listener that said, hey, on the last episode of Legacy, did I see Waylon run out the side of the entranceway? And I sent him a message back and said, yes, he was running a message from the production crew to the dressing room at 8 years old. He is my production assistant. He is ate up with the wrestling business. He is the timekeeper. He is the bell ringer. And it's just, it's amazing of how serious he takes it and how hard he works. And we, in the house, before the main event now, he does the Let's Get Ready to Rumble that people seem to like. And the other night when I got done in Mount Carmel, was sending everyone home and thanking them for coming and everything, I handed him the mic to give back to our ring announcer, Dr. Donnie Brannon. And as I went to walk away, I heard Waylon talking on the microphone, thanking the people for coming and hope to see him next month. You know, little eyes watch you, little ears listen, and little feet follow, which scares me to death. But I hope he doesn't have to live through the stuff that I've had to in the hard times. And that's why I'm working so hard now to make things happen for our family and take it bigger. And just, I got so much I want to tell you, but I can't. So hopefully soon I'll be able to tell you. Outlaws to Independence on Facebook, Outlaws to Independence on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that too and share some stuff from there. A lot of stuff coming up on that. April was very busy with something I'm working on, but May, it's slowing down a little bit. Hopefully, I'm pretty busy. Not pretty busy, but I'm busier than I have been wrestling. I think I've got 5 or 6 matches this coming month, and I'll tell you more about that later on. Used to have 5 or 6 a week, but, you know, Father Time is undefeated. I said the other night, this is the most I've heard in a long time. And Misty said, that's because this is the oldest you've ever been. And I didn't need to be reminded of that. So Outlaws to Independence on Instagram and X is Outlaws Pod, if you could follow all of those. We get new subscribers all the time. And please like and share this podcast and all the Outlaw podcasts, if you would, on your social media, if you enjoy it. John and I work very hard on this. And even when John, the weeks that John is not able to record with me, he still gets a few minutes here or there to help. And the next episode of this podcast in 2 weeks will be from John's archives, his digital archives of old newsletters and fanzines. And we're going to show you and go back to some more independent wrestling through the years from 40 years ago. As we did the last episode. So we love this. We love doing the work. We love doing the research. We love learning ourselves, and we love telling you guys, and we love getting the feedback, especially when people correct us or give us more information on something that we may not know. And that's happened a few times here in the last couple of weeks since our last episode. So let me get my stuff here, and I'm going to give you some updates. Thanks to Peter, and Peter, I hope I'm getting your last name correct, Fusco. He reminded me that there was 2 Abdullah the Greats. There was the one that we talked about that went on to work in Central States and work, excuse me, for the WWF as a ring crew, driving the truck of the ring. And that was Jack, but we mentioned him in the last one. He did work for Bruiser some, and he did work some Outlaws and different stuff. But there also was a fake Abdullah the Butcher that was Abdullah the Great that worked for Bruiser some, and he worked Outlaws also. Heavy set black man who tried to copy Abdullah, and a lot of people tried to pass him off as Abdullah the Butcher, but that was the Abdullah the Great, probably from what we had covered the last episode. And I've seen this guy in old magazines and videos and stuff, and it just slipped my mind that was a possibility of who it was. We also heard from the Savoldis. In the Classic Wrestling Network, we're going to tell you about here just in a minute. They were involved in the international wrestling with Dominic DiNucci and stuff that came along in the early 80s out of Pittsburgh. They were partners in that. And when it had said that they had closed down, international wrestling had closed down in that, that was Dominic and the Pittsburgh guys ceasing that end of the operation. But they also were already running in New Jersey, New England, and some places. And those were the Savoldis towns. So the Savoldis continued to run. So that was the beginning in the early 80s of a long run by the Savoldi family running. And you can watch a lot of that on their network, and we'll tell you about that more coming up. We also got an update. Let me look right here. I'm looking for Dave Dynasty's update, but I've got one from Travis Cook also. Marcel Bouvier, that we talked about on the last episode. Sometimes he was Marshall, sometimes he was Marcel, sometimes he was Marcel with a different spelling, but he was involved in the Arizona stuff, and at the same time was doing TVs for the WWF, so I guess he was flying himself up to get the TV exposure in Allentown, and that when they were doing the TVs in Allentown. So that goes to show you that guys, even independent / outlaw guys back then, were traveling quite a bit. And, it's great getting this information, stuff that we may or may not know. I need to ask Billy Anderson about Marcel. I'll send him a message, see if I can get even more updates on that. And I need to talk to Billy about some Arizona stuff, because we got more of that coming up. And where else are you going to hear about outlaw wrestling in the 70s and 80s in Arizona other than right here on Outlaws to Independence? I'm still looking for the messages that I got from Dave Dynasty, and I cannot find the update from Dave Dynasty. Dave, you told me you listened to this. You must be listening because you sent me an update. Send it to me again. I'll do it on the next episode with John. I apologize. I may have accidentally deleted it. I deeply apologize for that. Also, Quentin Charisma, who has helped us quite a bit with this podcast, he had sent me a nice message the other day telling me how much he enjoyed this and enjoyed the work that John and I are doing. And I passed that along to John, Quentin, and anything that we get, I share with John. He's just so busy with Darkside and everything else going on right now. But he'll be back on here, and you can reach out to him on his social media also, or just continue to send it to Outlaws to Independence. And I will continue to share it with John, make sure he sees it. Every week, especially after an episode comes out every other week, we're getting more and more feedback, more and more messages, people telling us how much they enjoy it. We see the numbers. We see the map of the world. And if you are listening in Europe, in Africa, in the Middle East, or in Australia, please find one of our social medias and send us a message, and we'll give you a shout out here. And thank you for listening, and thank the many of you, the hundreds of you that listen all across America and Canada. We appreciate it. We see your little dots on the map, and we just hope that we continue to educate you and entertain you, because we love doing this, and we got some great stuff coming up, and we got some great stuff coming up here today. Before we get into our subject, I'm going to run a little break here, a little commercial break. It's about 2.5 minutes long. upcoming events I'll be on for the month of May, and we're going to tell you about the Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
See the stars of Southern States Wrestling in a town near you. Appalachian Mountain Wrestling featuring stars of SSW, Friday, May the 2nd at the middle school in Fleming Neon, Kentucky. Saturday, May the 3rd, Mega Pro Wrestling featuring SSW stars at the Volunteer Fire Department Community Center in Racine, West Virginia. Saturday, May the 10th, All-Star Wrestling featuring SSW stars at the Stickleyville Community Center in Duffield, Virginia. Saturday, May 17th, Appalachian Mountain Wrestling featuring SSW stars and Billy Gunn at the high school in Hazard, Kentucky. Wrestling fans, get ready. Southern States Wrestling presents Night of the Champions, Friday night, May 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at the Armed Forces Reserve Center, 399 Highway 11W, Mount Carmel, Tennessee. Sponsored by Dalton Direct Carpets and Flooring of Kingsport. Champions from Southern States Wrestling, Appalachian Mountain Wrestling, and All-Star Wrestling will be in action. Belts will be defended, grudges will be settled, and history will be made. You'll see the very best from three great promotions, all under one roof, all in one night. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event. So make your plans, bring your friends, and be there!
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Use the code OUTLAWS in all capital letters to get this exclusive deal through Southern States Wrestling and the Outlaws podcast. Save 25% on your first bill by signing up through the website and watch it anywhere. Promo code OUTLAWS. More information in the description.
Make sure you sign up through their website. The description is in the description is the website and all the information you need. 25% off of your first bill. So go for the year long, save quite a bit of money, and use the promo code OUTLAWS, all in capital letters. Save 25%, and you're going to enjoy it. There's so much great stuff on there. And new stuff going up pretty regular, so make sure you check that out. Something I forgot at the beginning, no Jimmy story this week because I don't have John, and I feel like an idiot sitting here by myself doing Jimmy. At least when John is on, I can see John, and I know I'm getting instant reaction from him, and I know if I make him laugh, I make you laugh. And I had a man tell me the other day he's almost crashed his car twice because he's been laughing so hard at the Jimmy stories. And I got a great one coming up, and I got a lot of great ones, but I'm going to let y'all vote again before the next episode in 2 weeks. Now, let's dig into the podcast. Let's go back to May of 1996. I would have been just shy of my 21st birthday and would have already been in the ring for over 6 years and be hard, mean, and bitter beyond my years. But we had a big month for Southern States Wrestling in the month of May in 1996. We ran events in Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina, four states that month, including a four-day-in-a-row loop. And I'm going to walk you through all that. I'm going to tell you how the Appalachian title was created, why it was created, how and why that changed. Lots of great stuff here. And how Tracy Smothers held up an event and why there's a six-man tag that went on forever in Fall Branch one night because he's coming back from the WWE. You're going to get the whole story right here on this podcast from that. This is only parts of the Patreon podcast, because I just went through and picked out the stuff for May that we need. But let's go back to 1996, Southern States Wrestling, May Mayhem Tour. All right, let's get the time machine out. And I'm going to tell you this, as we move forward the rest of the program, you may hear me flipping pages and whatever, because I have my calendar, my date book here from 96, a better Homes and Garden calendar book that year. I don't even know how I got a better Homes and Garden calendar book, probably given to me somewhere by a sponsor or something. But I've also got my record book from the SSW events here. Was not complete. I had to go back through some video to do this, but I've got stuff here. We're going to take a look back now. May 1996. My gosh, that's hard to believe. It's been 25 years ago. It's just crazy. I'm just shy of turning 21 in July of that year. No, 22, I'm sorry. I'm 21 here, getting ready to turn 22. In May of 1996, and let's start out. The first thing that I have wrote in my book from May of 96 is on Thursday, May 2nd, and it's marked out with a Sharpie, and I cannot tell what it is, so that means I had an event that was canceled somewhere, and I cannot make out what it was. So then let's move on to the Friday the 3rd of May 1996. I was in Hansonville, Virginia, wrestling at the Bluegrass Center. Great venue for wrestling, great venue for live music. It was a family-oriented place. It wasn't a rowdy honky-tonk. It was a great setup over there. And I'm not sure if they're still doing music in Hansonville or not. I haven't been over there in a long time. But I was there that night for Mike Sampson. He was the promoter. And I was wrestling a guy named Mark Malibu. Malaya Hosaka was in my corner. Malaya helped me beat Mark Malibu. Then later that night, I helped Malaya beat Debbie Combs, which set up for Saturday, May the 4th. Nora, Virginia, at the Irvington High School. This is one of the high schools that no longer exists in Southwest Virginia after they consolidated the schools and cut a lot of the small community schools out. Nora, Virginia was one of my favorite towns to go to. Irvington High School was always packed. It was always rocking, and they were always rowdy. And there on that night, May the 4th, 1996, Debbie Combs and Mark Malibu beat me and Malaya Hosaka in a mixed tag main event in front of a large, rowdy crowd. And I have both of these events, and I probably need to get them digitalized and get over on to the Southern States Wrestling Network, because this is the UWA promotion. This is one of those independent promotions that a lot of people, unless they were in the area, don't know about, because the internet's in its infancy here, and stuff is not out like it is now. And there was a lot of promotions that were very good promotions a lot of people don't know about. Sunday, May the 5th, I would have spent part of my afternoon typing out the results of the 3rd and 4th and also upcoming dates. And then I would have faxed them to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, George Napolitano, Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller. I would have sent them out to everywhere to get our names out there so people could read about us and people could see about us in the arena reports and the results. Once again, it was not easy like now where you just put it on the internet and send it out. You had to get it in the hands of people that were publishing weekly and monthly and get stuff out. Somewhere here in this part of the month, I would have also been sending pictures to all the magazines. I would have been mailing pictures of promo shots and action shots from the prior month. I used to do that the first of every month, send stuff to Bill Apter for Pro Wrestling Illustrated and Wrestle America and The Wrestler and all the other stuff that were part of the Apter mags. The 6th of May, Monday. Usually Monday was a rest day. We did run events back in 95 and 96 on some Mondays, fairs, festivals, and some spot shows. I know that's probably crazy for some of you young people to think, my gosh, they ran on Mondays. We ran any day of the week that we thought we could make a dollar. plain and simple. But most Mondays were kind of a rest day, sleep in. I would probably watch the tapes from, if I ran events the weekend before, I would watch to see what was going on, to thank for booking. Had a time to look at stuff that I was happy with, not happy with, so I could tell the guys and girls that were working for me. Also on Mondays, sometimes I would go to the buildings that we were going to be running that week, just to make sure that there was nothing wrong. And no, I've shown up in armories where they forgot to take tanks out. And I've showed up at buildings with a cage to find out we cannot get the door open enough to get the cage in, or a way to get it in there. So that was early on in running. We're 5 years into running now, so I would go out a day and make sure that everything was up. I would drive around, make sure the posters were still up, make sure some knucklehead wasn't out tearing them down. You'd be surprised how much that happens. Tuesday, May 7th. Tuesday would have been poster day. I would have been making the poster for the towns 2 or 3 weeks out. I would then been going to Kinko's, getting them, making the copies of them, getting them ready to go out on the street. Then Tuesday nights, Ricky Morton had a wrestling school in my building in Fall Branch, Tennessee. I had the original school of Morton, and they trained on Tuesday nights, so I would be there for Tuesday nights. And Mark Curtis would come up sometimes on Tuesday. You never knew who was going to drop in on Tuesday nights. But if we did not have a town running on Tuesday, that's where we were at. We were at the school at the Sampson Center in Fall Branch, Tennessee. You can see a lot of the Sampson Center on the Southern States Wrestling Network. The 8th of May, Wednesday, if I was not wrestling, I was out Wednesday evenings putting flyers on cars for the towns that were running that weekend. Promoting. Folks, I work 24/7 just about it every day of the week except sleeping in on Mondays. Now let's get to it. May the 9th, 1996, Johnson City, Tennessee, Night Moves, big concert hall in Johnson City that was open for a couple of years there. We ran live events there. May the 9th, 1996 was our second event in there. You can watch this event in its entirety on the Southern States Wrestling Network. In the opening match, Scotty McKeever went to a draw with Scott Sterling. Second match, Danny Christian beat Justin St. John with the Duke of New York. Third match, Malaya Hosaka, with the help of Bo James, beats Debbie Combs for the NWA World Ladies title. Semi-main event, match one of three, best of three for the new created Appalachian heavyweight title, because we're running in West Virginia and other parts, new areas in the mountains. We're going to create an Appalachian champion. And it was me with my valet at the time against Tracy Smothers. First one, best of three. I beat Tracy with some help from my valet and Malaya Hosaka. Tag team title match, Death and Destruction regained the tag team titles, beating Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express and Bobby Fulton of the Fantastics. The Fantastic Express, we named them. It was the only name that sounded right. And then Ricky Morton won a Battle Royal. You can watch that event in its entirety on the network now. Then the next night, Friday, May 10th, Fall Branch, Tennessee, my hometown, Sampson Center. Scotty McKeever draws with Scott Sterling again. Justin St. John and Bubba with the Duke of New York beat the Wolfman and David Mad Dog Lynch. Debbie Combs regains the NWA ladies title from Malaya Hosaka. Death and Destruction and Chick White beat Steve Flynn and the Christian Brothers. I believe, I don't have a result, I believe that is because they're right on the left-hand side. Now, let me tell you about this match and let me tell you about this night. This is the day that Tracy Smothers signed with the WWE to become Freddie Joe Floyd. He flew out of Tri-Cities Airport at like 6:30 in the morning to Stamford, Connecticut, met with the WWE, signed the papers, did the legal stuff, then flew back to the Tri-Cities to make the town that night, 13 miles from the airport to the building. Flight is delayed. This six-man tag is told to go out there
and put some time in. Go until we tell you Tracy is here. And that's exactly what they did. And you can watch the whole event on the Southern States Wrestling Network, as I said. Then, semi-main event, Ricky Morton over the War Machine by DQ. And then the main event that night, Tracy Smothers in match number 2, the best of 3, beats me when the help of my valet and Malaya Hosaka backfires. So we're now even 1-1. Mark Curtis is there that night, observing, watching in the crowd. He gets involved in the finish when Tracy asks the referee to ask him, and people go nuts for that. Saturday, May 11th, the main events from this night are on the Southern States Wrestling Network, and it's in Emory, Virginia, Patrick Henry High School. This is Ricky Morton promoting a Southern States Wrestling event. Ricky's wife is from right there in Meadowview beside Emory, Virginia. This is Ricky's event. It's for the fire department. His brother-in-law is a member of the fire department, so is his father-in-law. This was a fundraiser for them. The main event saw Bobby Fulton turn on Ricky Morton when they were against Death and Destruction for the tag titles. Frank Parker injured the night before, and War Machine is put in Frank's spot. You've heard me, if you've heard me on Between the Sheets and other podcasts, talk about fans hitting the ring. A fan hits the ring on this, and you can watch it all on the network. The semi-main event that night was me with Malaya Hosaka beating Tracy Smothers. I'm the first Appalachian champion, because Tracy is going to the WWE. The original plan was for Tracy to be the first champion, but it's all in limbo now. He can still take independent bookings. He still works for me while he's working for the WWF, WWE. But at this point in time, we didn't know. We were waiting for him to get the booking sheets and get what stuff was going to happen. So we had to go with Plan B. Now let's get to Mother's Day 1996. Sunday, May 12th, an afternoon event. Princeton, West Virginia at the Rec Center. Scotty McKeever draw with Scott Sterling again. Mad Dog David Lynch beat Danny Christian. Big Jim Studd with mini wrestler Bad Boy Buck over Big Bubba and the Duke of New York. Southern States title, the Equalizer, my dear friend Crunch that just passed that I talked about an episode or two before, beats Tim Blaze, hometown guy there. Tim was living in North Carolina, so it was like a big homecoming for him. People were going crazy, thinking he was going to win the title. I came out, tripped him, and held him where he was counted out of the ring. Southern States tag team titles, Death and Destruction, defeated Tracy Smothers and Dan Cooley. In the main event, cage match. Special referee Super Mario. This is following up War Machine and I beating up Super Mario's son, Little Claudio, the month before. Almost caused a riot. Got out of hand quick. You can watch it all on the Southern States Wrestling Network. Cage match here. Ricky Morton and Jimmy Valiant beat Bo James and the War Machine. So that was a pretty full weekend there, the second weekend of May of 1996. Since I was on the road running a town in West Virginia, that means that on Monday the 13th, I would have been typing everything up, faxing it, and if they did have email, send them emails to the magazines, the newsletters, and all the stuff, get publicity out, let people know what was going on. 14th of May, Tuesday night, means I would have been back at the wrestling school because I don't have a town wrote down here. 15th of May means I'd have been out doing the promotions, whatever, in Jefferson, North Carolina, because we're going to run Jefferson that weekend. 16th, Thursday night, the 16th. I don't have anything wrote down, but I'm sure I was probably getting the change and the concessions and everything ready for this coming Saturday night, May the 18th, in Jefferson, North Carolina, because on Friday, May the 17th, I am in Unaka, Tennessee, up in Carter County, wrestling for Joey Carrier's Tennessee Championship Wrestling. I don't have an opponent. I don't know who I wrestled that night, but I was in Unaka at the high school for Joey Carrier. Then the next night, Jefferson, North Carolina, National Guard Armory. That was my dad's town. My dad, for some reason, said, hey, we need to go over in the mountains and run Jefferson. We do so good in Mountain City, we need to need to do Jefferson, North Carolina. My dad promoted this event. It is getting ready to go up on the Southern States Wrestling Network. We're missing, for some reason, we're missing some stuff from June of 96. So we had so many events in May of 96. I put some of them up last year, the ones I'm telling you about that you can see now. And then in June of this year, we're going to back up and put the missing May events up. And then we should be back on track going through 96. But let's go to Jefferson, North Carolina. National Guard Armory, Saturday, May 18th. Scotty McKeever beat Mad Dog David Lynch. Second match, the popular Christian brothers. Danny and Bam Bam Christian beat the Equalizer, who was the Southern States Heavyweight Champion at the time, and Big Bubba with the Duke of New York. Southern States Tag Team titles, Death and Destruction, beat Steve Flynn and Alex Shane. Appalachian title, Bo James, and I had the Duke of the New York with me that night, beat Scott Sterling. The American Eagle, Jackie Fulton, under the mask as he was wrestling in the, that was his gimmick in Japan with Dale Wilkes, beats Vladimir Koloff. And in the main event, Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express beats Gorgeous George III. That event, like I said, will be going on the Southern States Wrestling Network very soon. So the 19th of the month, I would have been filling the stuff out. Somewhere the week before, now that I see, I would have been out postering to probably Monday the 13th. No, because we'd run to, so Monday the 13th or the 15th, I was postering for May the 24th in Fall Branch. We ran Fall Branch every 2 weeks, so I had to go out every 2 weeks and hang posters for the next event. So, pretty light weekend from the fourth weekend of May. Only had May the 24th in Fall Branch, Tennessee. And I had an idea for this event. And it's going to be on the Southern States Wrestling Network very soon also. I had heard from people that work for me and work for some of the other people that run wrestling in this part of the country, these grumblings from these other people saying, well, Bo James created a title for himself, the Appalachian title. He only wanted that title so he could beat Tracy Smothers for it. And I just told you, the plan from day one was Tracy to be the Appalachian champion. He had been the Smoky Mountain champion, so it was fitting for him to be the Appalachian champion. But he signs with Vince McMahon. I then had the idea originally was, okay, he's going to have that title. Equalizer has this title, the Southern States title. So we need to do something to build people underneath. And Scott Sterling was the guy. Scott was over. The fans love Scott Sterling. If you only know Scott Sterling from his heel days in Southern States Wrestling, you need to go back to the Southern States Wrestling Network and see Young Gun Scott Sterling, a cowboy, and the girls loved him. And he was a white meat baby face, and the people were behind him. And I was repackaging him as a singles because his partner Jeff Lovin had stopped wrestling. So Scott's going to wrestle now as a singles, and we're going to get Scott over. And that's why I had him going to draws in all these towns, because we're telling the story that he's used to being able to tag in and out. Now he's got to learn to do it on his own. He's got to do it on his own. And there's no tag. You know, just telling the story with him. So we're going to put Scott over in this tournament. And the original idea of the tournament was whoever won the tournament could pick whatever title, whether they wanted to face Tracy Smothers for the Appalachian title or Crunch the Equalizer, or then known as the Tennessee Equalizer, for the Southern States title. So the original idea was he was going to chase Crunch for the SSW title after winning this tournament. So then I hear the grumblings of all the local jabronis. He created a belt for himself. He did this. He did that. They don't know my business, and I don't know their business. In fact, I avoided their business, and I avoided everybody pretty much that ran around here for many years other than Joey Carrier that ran Tennessee Championship Wrestling, just because of the drama and the headaches and the crap. So I hear these rumblings. We have to go with Plan B to where I had to win the title because we don't know what Tracy's going to get to do until he gets his booking sheets and all the stuff from the WWF. So now, all right, we're going to do this. It's going to be Plan B. Again, me and Scott go to the finals in the tournament. Now he can start chasing me for the Appalachian title, and I'll go with somebody else with the Tennessee Equalizer for the Southern States title. So I keep hearing the grumblings, and I keep hearing this and that, and he's a big mouth, and he's a short, fat guy, and I don't know how he gets booked all over the place. I don't know how people use him and this and that. So I put a name on this tournament just to mess with people that lived around here and just to aggravate them. This tournament became the King of the Southern Independents. And as the idea of the tournament, it's a blind draw. The ring announcer draws the first name. That wrestler comes out, he draws his opponent. As they get into the ring announcer announces the promotions that they wrestle for regularly. Like the War Machine, in opening match, beats Johnny Thunder. This is Johnny Thunder's first match. He had went through the school here in Fall Branch. So we probably said that he wrestled somewhere else. I have to look at the tape again. But we'd say the War Machine representing Southern States Wrestling, representing the UWA, representing what other promotion he wrestles for. Second match, David Lynch beat Alan Wayne Ward. Alan was a graduate of Boogie's Wrestling School, so he's introduced as representing Boogie's Wrestling School, Jimmy Vance School in Virginia, plus he's a part of Southern States Wrestling and a couple other promotions. David Lynch was well-traveled with Scotty McKeever, so we'd name off these different promotions he wrestles for. Third match of the night, I beat the TCB man. You probably ask yourself, what is the TCB man? Taking care of businessman, Elvis impersonator, who happened to be born George Jones. That was his name. He was out of the school, our Tuesday night school here. This is his second or third match, but I just remember now looking, I missed on May 17th in Unaka. I wrestled him in Unaka on his very first match, so we introduced the TCB man as representing Tennessee Championship Wrestling. The next match, first round match, Ricky Morton beat Scotty McKeever. Well, you know Ricky Morton, Southern States Wrestling, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, WCW, WWF, we can introduce him representing all the promotions. Scotty McKeever, well-traveled, probably introduces the PWF, George and Styles group out of Carolinas and whatever other groups. After this match, Ricky Morton wins, but I had there as a surprise, Manny Fernandez runs in. Jumps Ricky, bloodies him up, babyface is made the save, setting up for next week in a different town close by. We'll get to that here in a minute. Next match, Alan King beat El Tecnico Rudo. Mark Curtis in a lucha outfit. He would have been introduced as representing Lucha Libre, I'm sure. Alan King, TCW, SSW, UWA, other promotions here. The Wolfman, representing Smoky Mountain Wrestling and All-State Wrestling out of Knoxville, wrestles Big Bubba with the Duke of New York to a double countout. Scott Sterling. Now, Scott's been going to draws. Here's his first big win as a singles. He'd had some underneath wins, but here he is beating one half the tag team champions, one half of Death and Destruction, Frank Parker. Scott Sterling gets a win in the first round. Next one, Danny Christian, a babyface. Big favorite here for us. Wrestles Steve Flynn, another big babyface. They go to a time limit draw. Both of them is eliminated. Shake hands, hug, everything. Next round, Scott Sterling over Ricky Morton. Ricky cannot come back and continue because of what Manny Fernandez had did to him. Bo James defeats the War Machine. We are tag partners on many occasions. You just heard about that over the weekend. Alan King beats David Lynch. We go into the final round. I beat Alan King, and then I beat Scott Sterling in the finals so I can crown myself the King of the Southern Independents, and I can aggravate a bunch of gossiping, two-faced, backstabbing, no-good pieces of trash. So that was where we were at on the 24th. 25th of May, I don't have anything wrote down, which is surprising. As I was looking through my book, let me look again. This is the first Saturday night I think I've had off in the year, as we're halfway through the year. No, I had one in March. I was booked, but it got canceled for some reason. So I'm off on the 25th. That's Memorial Weekend. Memorial Weekend's always a bad time to run, because that's the opening of the pools, the lakes, and vacations, and schools getting out. So that was probably by design. I know it was by design we didn't run. It was probably by design that I took it off. Then we go into the weekend. That weekend I would have did some promotions. I can tell you what I'm doing because I'm looking at it right here. We're in Kingsport on the 30th. So that weekend I just spent around home putting flyers on cars promoting the event at the Armory. 27th, Memorial Day, I would have been going to the graves that I do every year. Been doing that for a long time and will continue to do it as long as I'm able to do it to remember my family members that have left us. The 28th, Tuesday, I would have been at the wrestling school. 29th, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm part of a school assembly at Pennington Gap Middle School in Pennington Gap, Virginia, because we're going to run there on that Friday night. Thursday the 30th, Kingsport National Guard Armory. This is my mother's event. This is an event my mother promoted, and it's a fundraiser for the Children's Hospital in Kingsport for the Children's Miracle Network. Let me turn over here and get to the results. This also will be going up on the Southern States Wrestling Network here very soon. Opening match, Thursday night, May 30th, Kingsport, Tennessee, National Guard Armory, 4401 West Stone Drive, and it's a Weigel's convenience store sitting there now as the old armory is gone. Gorgeous Georgia III beat the TCB man in the opening match. What about this tag team right here? The Wolfman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Mark Curtis in the Ninja Turtle outfit beat Mike Cooper and Bubba with the Duke. Vladimir Koloff beat Danny Christian with the help of Chick White, furthering Danny and Chick's issue that they had going on before. Tag team titles, Death and Destruction beat Dan Cooley and Scott Sterling. This match right here gives me an idea when I get done with Scott in this singles deal. Maybe here's another guy for him to team with down the road to be a regular tag team, and that does happen down the road. But this is the match that gave me the idea of them being a regular team. They were just kind of thrown together for this event. Appalachian title, semi-main event. Your champion, Handsome Bo James, with his valet against WWE Hall of Famer, the boy from New York City, Jimmy, the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, Handsome Jimmy. He has Alan King in his corner. I win on a DQ. It involves the valet. It involves Alan King, furthering me and Alan King for something that we had started in March. And then the main event, Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express beats the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez. Now let's go to Friday night, the 31st of May, 1996, Pennington Gap, Virginia, an event promoted by Manny Fernandez, involving a lot of the Southern States wrestling talent, plus some guys that he had brought up from North Carolina. The only result I have that night, Scott Sterling defeating me for the Appalachian Heavyweight title. So, no, I didn't create a title for myself. No, I didn't want it. And you can see I keep it all of 20 days. I defended it one time. Or twice. In Unaka, Tennessee, and Jefferson, North Carolina. The other matches were in Jimmy Vance. So three times. I had three title defenses and dropped the title to Scott Sterling. If you've read my book, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? The story of Al Getz, the Duke of New York, having his first trip into Lee County, Virginia, and facing some of the wildest wrestling fans that you could ever imagine. If you've read that book, this is the night. May the 31st, 1996. Fans hit the ring. They're throwing spit cups and cans of pop and soda at us from everywhere. They're throwing rocks at us. We're outside on the football field. The ring is set up right in front of the grandstand. The finish was Scott Sterling cross-body block off the guardrail in the grandstand, over the top, into the ring on top of me. Big pop. I didn't tape it. I did not tape the event. I forgot to tape my camera. And I've kicked myself ever since that night because that finish was unbelievable. And he's so high in the air when he jumps. And I knew, man, he is getting ready to crush me. But it was a great night. It was a great month, 1996. You can see how busy we were, not just wrestling for other people, but doing promotions. This was the family business. This is the family business. And I'm going to look real fast. The next night, June the 1st, I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina. So I'm all over the place in the 90s. I'm all over the place up until the pandemic. But young guy out there living his dream. Family business. Mom and dad promoting towns. Brother-in-law wrestling. I'm wrestling. Cousin wrestling. Little bitty nieces and nephews that are grown now with children are at ringside. Just like their kids are now. And it's just a great time. A special time. May the, of 1996. By the end of June of 2021, you'll be able to relive it all. Most of it is already up there on the Southern States Wrestling Network. And I've said this before, and I want to make this point. Yes, we created the network as a revenue, income revenue. Yes. But it became a work of love very quickly. When you start seeing these people that were special to your life that can no longer wrestle, but you're seeing them in their youth and in their prime. Some of them have passed on, but there they are. And we can watch it. We can hear their voice. We can see them move. It's a work of love to show off Super Mario's little son, Claudio, who was killed in a car wreck at 18 years old. It's a work of love to show my friend of 32 years, Glenn Day, the Equalizer. It's a work of love to look at ringside and see my grandparents. I lost both grandfathers before I wrestled, but there's videos of my granny, my mom's mom, and my grandma, my dad's mom, sitting at ringside watching the matches. There's all these people that I love and respect who poured their blood, their hard work into this for my family and for the business. And I love showing them off to you. I love it. And I love to come on here and tell you about it and tell you the story and see how you could go back and watch it and relive it and see it. some of you for the first time. Some of you I know were there, and you tell me, I enjoy going back and watching this stuff because I see fans ringside. Let's talk about that for a minute. I was watching this Kingsport event the other night. I counted 8 people sitting in the audience that are dead now. 8 people that I knew who supported us and followed us, whether we were in Greenville or Kingsport or Fall Branch, or some of them would even go all the way to West Virginia to watch because they loved what we were doing. They supported us. They let us do what we wanted to do and let me follow my dream. So it's so great to see them at ringside and see the reaction I could get out of them, where there was a heel and they're booing me, or a baby face and they're loving me. Those people too are a special part of my life, just like you are a special part of my life, because you continue to help me relive the dream and live the dream. I hope you've enjoyed this, because I've enjoyed looking back at it. I'm enjoying doing the video work. It's time consuming. It takes a lot of time to digitalize these old tapes and then put them in there and get them to fit in a format where we can fit everything in it. SouthernStatesWrestlingNetwork.pivotshare.com. 7-day free trial. Start it now. Check it out. If nothing else, just go check out May of 96. Then it's only $4.99 a month. Relive the history. Relive my family's history. Relive independent wrestling in East Tennessee. Because let me tell you something. As you heard in the last episode, outlaw / independent wrestling was a mess in East Tennessee before Southern States Wrestling came along. These guys now innovate wrestling and different promoters and promotions that run this area. They learn from me, but they didn't have to go through the trial and error that I had to go through in these first years. We helped change the landscape of the wrestling and poured a new foundation for what wrestling in East Tennessee is now. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm very appreciative of you that have followed me and watched the whole time. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, from my family's heart.
Oh, if we could just go back and do it again. What a great time in my life. What a great time in the wrestling business, because the Monday Night Wars were new and WCW and WWE were signing people left and right. I had a wrestling school with Ricky Morton, not like the wrestling schools I told you about a few episodes ago. We turned out some young talent out of there that went on to wrestle for several years. It just was a great time. Now we're going to fast forward a little bit up into the early 2000s, and I'm going to tell you some stories about Wahoo McDaniels and Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden and some other people. And by this time in the early 2000s, by the time we get to the end of May of 03, my life was in a downward spiral. Addiction, depression, everything else that had came along in life at that time. Now, I'm not afraid to talk about it because I may help someone else that's battling the stuff that I was battling. But also fond memories other than that stuff. Working with my heroes, drawing some major crowds in some towns and doing some great stuff on television. So let's fast forward a few years and let's hear some more May memories. And as I said, May has always been, seems to be a good month. You know, summer's kind of hard to draw unless you're doing fairs and festivals in East Tennessee because of the lakes and the racetracks and all the stuff that goes on here. You got a lot to compete with, and people been in the house all winter and they're out in the summer. But we always had a big event in May every year, kind of a season-ending event for the winter months and spring months. And then we would go into fair and festival mode, and then we'd start back in the fall, get ready for our big holiday events, and then the holiday events would lead up to the big event in May. And two events that have, well, let's go back up to last year. I added on the network, we did a Night to Remember. That was our first Hall of Fame inductions. And it was a big event. We brought the Masked Superstar back to Kingsport for the first time in many years. We had Jimmy Valiant and Ricky Harrison against Wayne Rogers and Don Wright. I wrestled Tracy Smothers. The Christian Brothers against KC Thunder and Steve Flynn. It was a great card, a great night. We had the Hall of Fame inductions that night of the Superstar, of Tony Peters, of Jim White, of Sam Bass. And the Masked Superstar and Mark Curtis was presented a Lifetime Achievement Award. There is Mark was battling cancer, and he was coming towards the end of his life, and we really didn't realize how fast it was going to come. But it was a great night, and Mark was right there beside me, helping me run the event. He was on the headsets. He was doing commentary. He was doing anything that I could ask him to do without getting into the ring, because he just was physically not able to do that. But it was a great event, so you can watch that on the Southern States Wrestling Network, A Night to Remember, May 1999. Now fast forward a year later, and Mark had passed away in September of 1999, so we decided to make the event in May the Mark Curtis Memorial, and it was an event that has never been seen before, but is now on the Southern States Wrestling Network, and I've watched it twice in the last few days, late at night, sitting here. Just the memories of not only Mark Curtis, who was a dear, dear friend, but Buddy Landale is on there. Buddy's no longer with us. Brian Overby, no longer with us, is on there. Jim White, a legendary name here in the 60s, also known as Tiny York, was a part of that event. He's no longer with us. And Wahoo McDaniel, the great chief, a great friend. And all those guys were great friends to me, but this was Wahoo's last appearance in the Tri-Cities, my home region here, and it was a tremendous night for Wahoo. If you've read my book, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? I walk you through the whole night with Wahoo. Wahoo had got himself out of the hospital. He was beginning to battle the issues that would take his life 18 months later. And he had got out of the hospital to make that appearance. And we had called Wahoo the day before and the day before and couldn't get him. He didn't call back. We were kind of nervous. Is he going to be here? What's going on? Where is he at? And at the appointed time that we had agreed on, I look up, and there stands the chief. He was there. And he came and did a meet and greet. He did a meal with the VIPs and the sponsors, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame that night. And he went out and did the Hall of Fame, and he had been there all day, and he felt the love from the boys, felt the love from the fans, and he comes to me during intermission, and he says, I want to do something. I feel I have to do something here. You know, I can't, you're paying me a great price to be here and do all this stuff, and I feel like I need to earn it. And Wahoo was not in shape to wrestle. He was ill. He was very ill. And we didn't know at the time how sick that he was, but we would begin to realize in the next few weeks and months. So, if you watch this on the Southern States Wrestling Network, you will see Wahoo McDaniel get involved in the main event, which was the Iron Cross and Ricky Harrison against me and KC Thunder, with PJ Sharp as the referee. Loser of the fall leaves town. This is the second in the three series of the loser leave towns that I'd had over those years. And Wahoo comes to the rescue of the Iron Cross. And he hits me with a chop, and he hits KC with a chop. And if you watch the video, and there's been a couple of pictures put on Twitter and Facebook of it, he hit us so hard that he knocked us down. As sick as he was, as unhealthy as he was, he still had the strength and the power to knock a man on their backside. And you can see it right there. And you see what a great moment as the people start chanting Wahoo. And I talk about it in my book when I come up the steps on the stage and I look at the monitor and the camera is on Wahoo and the people are doing the chop that you see at Florida State and you see at the Atlanta Braves, and they're chanting Wahoo and doing all that. And he's standing there with tears in his eyes. And it was a touching moment, a memory that I will never forget. And Wahoo was such a special part of my life, and the friendship that I had with him. I was a huge Wahoo McDaniel fan as a child. And in 1984, when Wahoo turned heel, it absolutely broke my heart, but I still cheered him, you know, at times. But I became friends with him over the years, and I got to wrestle him a few times, and I reffed a lot of his matches, and I was around him a lot, and he was always a super nice man to me. He loved my little, well, he's a grown man now, but my nephew Zachary loved Wahoo McDaniel, and Wahoo loved Zach, and they had a special bond. And Zach was just, you know, three, four, 5 years old when he was around Wahoo. And, you know, he just loved that man, and that man loved him, and it was something to see how Wahoo treated this little boy, and it was something to see how Zach looked at Wahoo like I looked at Wahoo as a little boy. He knew this is the toughest man around. He knew this guy is special, and just the bond that they had, the bond that we had with him, and, you know, just days before Wahoo passed away, I got an envelope, and back then, early days of the internet, so you're still getting a lot of mail. Guys mailing pictures and tapes and stuff trying to get booked. And I'd go to the post office 2 or 3 times a week, and there would always be packages in there with pictures or letters or, you know, a videotape or maybe even a DVD. I don't really remember when DVDs came in, but they would always be mail there, guys trying to get booked. And I would just take it out and go home and go through them as I had time. And I remember taking the stuff home, and I was sitting there eating at the table, and the stuff was sitting on the table. And I just happened to look, and I could see Wahoo's name on the return address on the big envelope. So I pulled it out, and I opened it up, and in that envelope was several pictures of Wahoo with the U.S. belt, with the Southwest belt, with the Mid-Atlantic belt. He had all these different pictures that he had sent me. And he had sent me a couple of programs from Texas and a couple of places. And in there was one little piece of paper that simply wrote on it, "I thought you would like to have these, Wahoo." And that is in my safe right now. I keep that. I hung one of the pictures in my office. I see Wahoo every day, and I think about him fondly. I went back and watched, like I said, I watched this event twice in the last few days. I think that you're really going to enjoy it. Sadly, the original master digital tapes did not hold up to time, but I had 3 VHS backups from where some of it was shown on TV, some of it was recorded in a monitor, and one of them was recorded somehow without audio, but I was able to take all 3 VHSs, put them together, show you the card in full for the first time ever. And I also put some bonus footage from night one of the Weekend of Champions from Saltville, Virginia, the night before on there. So it's a great 2-hour watch. Southern States Wrestling Network, check it out. One of the events that I'm very proud of. And I think Mark Curtis was probably very proud of it, watching down on us that night. And it was a great night. A lot of history there. Wahoo inducted that night in the Hall of Fame. Ron Wright, Whitey Caldwell, Whitey's wife and kids were there. Pappy Earl Walters, who helped Ron Wright and promoted towns here for years, was inducted. Manny Fernandez was inducted. Mark Curtis was inducted in the Hall of Fame. Joe Wheeler gives a rundown of everybody's careers. We induct them. It was a great night. A lot of history. Go back and check that out. And also now on the Southern States Wrestling Network, Mark Curtis Memorial 2001. And you talk about a long day. This was one of the longest days in my life. If you've read the book, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? I'll walk you through that day also, because, man, what a day. Huge advance that ended up being the largest crowd ever in the Armory for pro wrestling. Largest crowd ever. The Armory's been tore down, so that record will forever stand. At the time, it was the largest gate, which would be broke a couple times over the years as ticket prices would grow, and it was a tremendous night of wrestling that featured Arn Anderson, that featured Terry Taylor, Buddy Landale, who else was there? Tim Horner, the Batten Twins against me and KC Thunder inside a cage, Loser Leave Town. And if you've read the book, you know we had rented a cage from a guy. We went to get the cage that morning. He's nowhere to be found, and he had chained the cage to a tree so we couldn't take it. And he never returned the money. So we had to scramble, and we had to build a cage behind the Armory that afternoon. The Batten Twins went to work and built a cage for us to use that night, because I was having to do everything and run everything. turned into one of the bloodiest nights ever, one of the most shocking nights ever, and it is a great night. Hall of Fame there that night with Arn Anderson, Wild Bill Caney, his sons were there, Melvin Johnson, the great referee from the Tri-Cities, the ref for Southeastern and for Nick Gulas and the Kingsport Territory, Buddy Landale's induction, Ken Bowles' induction, another great friend that's no longer with us. You know, and as I look back through these videos that we've put up on the network, and I'll tell you this right here. I started the network because I said, okay, here's a way to make some extra income because I've saved everything over the years. I have a room that is nothing but the video room. And it's full of 30 years of all of the stuff that I've did through my career, plus all my territory stuff and everything that I've kept. But as I got into doing this, and I got into doing this network and showing the history and showing what I've done, and another reason that I did this is I want my nieces and nephews and my great nieces and nephew to be able to look and say, hey, there's my uncle. There's our Uncle Steve. There's our cousin KC. You know, there's all these people that I've heard our family talk about. So I want them to see what a great history of a promotion that we've had. But it has turned into so much more. It has turned into a work of love, a passion, because I want people to see these men like Ken Bowles and Brian Overby that were probably only known right here in this area, who are no longer with us, who were great friends of mine. I want them to see Buddy Landale and his interaction with our family. I want them to see Mark Curtis. I want you to see him too, because this, and I want you to see the work that guys like Ricky Harrison and Iron Cross and the Batten Twins and John Noble and Eddie Browning and Roger Anderson and Frank Parker and the Duke of New York and all these other men that have come through here over the years, how hard they worked to give us a promotion to be proud of. And in the 90s and early 2000s, we had such a great thing going here, and I'm so proud of it, and I'm so proud to share not only my work, but their work. And for $4.99 a month, you can go to the Southern States Wrestling Network.pivotshare.com and you can enjoy all this stuff. And yes, I'm pitching it to you because it does cost me money to keep this thing going and to digitalize stuff and do it. But at this point in time, even if I wasn't making money on it, I would still be sharing this stuff with you so somebody would see it. I would still be telling these stories so people would know them, because I'm proud of what I've done in my 30 years in wrestling. I'm proud of the people that I got to become friends with, heroes that became friends. I'm proud of the people that I helped start in pro wrestling. I'm proud of the people that I gave their first opportunity to be on television, that I got them in the magazines, and I was letting people see them to where they could get booked out and go other places. And I'm proud of our body of work that we did, and I hope that you enjoyed as much as I do, and I thank you for going and watching. I thank you for watching the weekly stuff that we're doing on YouTube. A new episode of that will be going up this weekend also. We've taken a couple of weeks off just because we're having to spread out a little bit of the new stuff that we've taped. We still have a few weeks of stuff that's been taped that's not been seen for the YouTube. But, you know, with all the lockdowns and not sure when we're going to get to run again or when we're going to get to have live events or anything, I don't know how much longer we'll be able to do new episodes. But even if we don't have new content, I have 30 years of footage to go back. I can show you stuff on the YouTube channel, too, that you've never seen before, and it'll be new to you. So we got a lot of stuff going on. So don't worry about us running out of video. Don't worry about me running out of stories as we're going to get to here today, because I want to take you back to another Mark Curtis memorial, and I want to talk about it in detail leading up to it, what happened, and something that I did not realize here until recently about Mark Curtis Memorial 2003. All right, before we get to the Mark Curtis Memorial 2003, I want to back up to the fall of 2002. In the fall of 2002, I took the first and only break from pro wrestling that I've ever taken on purpose. Now, I've had two breaks that I've had to take because of injury and have to have surgery. One in 2004, I had to have surgery on my ear where I was in a car wreck. And then, of course, many of you know about me having the back issues, broken back, have to have the surgery in 2014, January 2014, the surgery that has changed my life in many ways, because after that, I didn't realize how much pain I was in until I had the surgery, and when I recovered from the surgery, then I realized how bad a shape that I was in. I've lost 120 some pounds since that surgery. I feel great. I'll get around better, and it just was a blessing in disguise at the time. But in the fall of 2002, I had hit a wall. I had been going for 11 years, booking towns, promoting towns. I had had runs there where I was booking Southern States Wrestling, plus booking other promotions for other people at the same time. And, you know, it takes a lot out of you to create TV and to have finishes every night in the towns and to keep the wheel rolling. But I was doing it all. Not only the booking, I was promoting the towns. I mean, physically on the street, hanging the posters, walking the streets, getting it done, meeting with the sponsors. One day a week was spent on TV production where we go and edit the TV. You know, I hit a wall and I was just burnt. I mean, just, man, I was having a physically, emotional, and mentally breakdown, for lack of a better term. I had ran myself ragged. I was exhausted. I was having to deal, and if you are not involved in wrestling, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, belly aching and crying, and this, why does that guy get this and I don't? Why is he a champion? You know, you hear that stuff all the time. You know, it's, you're babysitting part of the time, too, being in charge of everything. And I took a break for a month where I didn't do anything. And I had never taken a break. I'd never nothing. And I took a break, and I realized, you know, I got to get some help. And in 01, Bart Batten was helping me book, and Bart was very good. Over the years, Ricky Morton helped me with the booking and different stuff. But I was still doing all the other business and doing all the other stuff. And so in fall of 02, I said, I got to get somebody to come in here and, you know, if they don't want to book it fully, just help me and give me ideas and do this and that. And I need somebody that knows how to do TV. I need somebody that knows what they're doing, that understands the product that we're giving. And I sat and I thought for a couple of days, and the name kept coming to me of who I need to do this with. And that's Jimmy Golden. And I've always had a great relationship with Jimmy Golden. I've known Jimmy most of my life. I've used him on and off since we started running Southern States Wrestling. He'd always been great for us. He was a champion for us at one time, a tag champion. And, you know, just an all-around good guy and a smart guy from the business, because he grew up part of the Welch Golden Fuller clan. So he knew wrestling. He knew what we wanted to do. And so I bring Jimmy in on Thanksgiving night of 02. Didn't use him on Christmas night, but I used him on the TVs following that week following. I think we taped on Christmas was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. We taped TV Saturday, so he's at the TV. And that was when he was taking some control and charge and giving me ideas. He never was the full booker, but he and I were doing it together, and it was working, and it took a lot off of me. But also during this time period, some stuff that I've been battling, addiction and other things, were really starting to take control of me, and I was not in a good state of mind. Let's just say that. Jimmy was there to help, and Jimmy said, what do you think we should do, or what do you want to do? And I said, I got a lot of young guys. Let's watch them, help them, teach them, mold them, and maybe me and you should just work with each other, you know, and see how that goes. So I don't remember if Jimmy came up with the idea or if I came up with the idea of let's do the family, because I had my brother-in-law Steve Flynn, cousin KC, we were the first family, the dynasty. And so it starts at that TV taping where I go out and I just turn back heel and I do this interview standing there with my brother-in-law, and I talk about our family in our history in East Tennessee in wrestling. And I said, we're the greatest family that has ever been here. We're better than the Greens. We're better than the Wright brothers, which, boy, you can believe that's big heat when you start knocking Ron and Don Wright here. And I said, we're better than anybody that ever come out of that Welch clan, out of the Fullers, out of the Goldens, out of the Welches, you know, and I'm just bashing them, and it ends up with Jimmy coming out to confront us, and we both were there, and it ends up where he had been a heel for many years, too, so it works good, because you got these two loudmouth heels, and then you got another guy, but he knows he's outnumbered, so it ends up where Jimmy tricks us and sucker punches me, and the people were with it right there. And then Jimmy does an interview for the next week where he says, look, they can say whatever they want to say about me, but they don't talk about my family. They don't talk about... And he just started giving history lessons. And I would give history lessons talking about him. And I would always throw stuff in there about they were drunks and they were this and they were that and they were crooks, you know. And so it just keeps building. And then January, we bring Eddie Golden back, Jimmy's wrestling nephew. And in March, we do a thing where we pile drive Eddie on the floor because he's got to take some time off. So me and Casey pile drive Eddie on the floor. He's carried out. And we knew Eddie was good from January to this date. So we're trying to figure out what are we going to do after that, because you got to have a partner. So we brought the Batten Twins back in that me and Casey had the big run with 2 years earlier. But this time they come back as fan favorites to help Jimmy Golden. So we've got six mans with me and my family, Jimmy and the Batten Twins. We do a thing where I jab Jimmy in the eye with a pencil or something, and he has to wear an eye patch for a little while. Then we pile drive Eddie, and Jimmy comes out on TV and he does an interview. And he says, I've had it up to here. I'm done. You've hurt my family. You've talked about my family. You did this and that, blah, blah, blah. You're going to pay, and you're going to pay dearly, because I made a phone call, and you did something I didn't want to do. And he's sitting on the beach in Florida, and he was happy until I told him what you guys had did, and he's coming back to Tennessee. And that was the setup for Robert Fuller to come back to East Tennessee for the first time since Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And as Robert Fuller, he'd made a couple appearances here with WCW as Colonel Parker. So Robert sends in interview talking about he's coming back home. He's coming back to Tennessee, and we're going to settle the score. And I'm going to play some interviews for you here just in a minute. But the very first night that he comes into Greenville, Tennessee, and it's Steve Flynn, my brother-in-law, and I against Robert and Jimmy, Handsome Jimmy Valiant, the special referee, the Boogie Woogie Man. And they beat us within an inch of our lives. We end up leaving, getting counted out. I'm bleeding. Steve's bruised up. And they say, tomorrow night in Kingsport, we're going to finish the deal. And that next morning, an interview that Robert had sent in, because we had to have the TVs turned in a few days ahead of time. So Robert did some interviews in Florida sent to him. So that one aired Saturday morning for the night of the Mark Curtis Memorial 2003. And I want you to listen to Robert Fuller as he's given his last true Robert Fuller interviews to the fans here in East Tennessee.
Let's start off by saying a very happy hello to all my friends and family up there in Eastern Tennessee. I got little brothers and sisters up there in that mountains. I got all kinds of family up there. But before I start, I want you to turn your picture right here just 1 second and take a look at what I'm standing at. This is Florida down here. For you people out there in Eastern Tennessee that hadn't had a chance to see the dolphins swimming by and the manatees out there in the water, dadgum kingfish this doggone long, it's a wonderful thing being in Florida. But it's also a wonderful thing being in Tennessee. And I got a reason to leave this beautiful palm tree setting right here and come home to the place I was born and bred and raised in. And it's the greatest reason anybody could ever do it. It's for family. It's for my cousin, Jimmy Golden, that has had nothing but problems with a couple of goofballs up there in Eastern Tennessee. I'll tell you what I'm going to call them. Down in the ground, hole, cave, nothing Taliban. I'm going to come up there and drop one of them 700-pound busters that goes down in the ground and takes care of their crazy butts. I heard about what they want to do. See, it seemed like wrestling should be just going out catching your best hold. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. We're going to find out who the best athlete is. But these boys, this KC, Bo James, is that the names? I'll tell you what, boys. Up there in those mountains, those people might know you as tough guys. I sure hell don't know you as no tough guys. I know this. When it comes to WrestleMania, it comes to WCW, WWE, any big organization you ever seen. I've been there. I've done it, son. Every bit of it. So when I talk, I can open my mouth and walk tall and strut and people listen, see, boys? Well, let me tell you something you're going to want to listen to. Now, you took my cousin and you treated him like a total piece of garbage up there. Let me tell you something, guys. He is a real historian in this business. Everybody knows Jimmy Golden, Buckhouse Buck from WCW. Everybody knows the Tennessee Stud. And I'm going to tell you something, Bo James and KC. You're going to know him come tonight. You had a little taste of it. Well, you're going to get a big darn taste of it. Let me tell you something, bud. Swinging around chairs and beating people on the head with chairs and pull out your dadgum pin, stick it in their eye. I heard you stuck Jimmy in the eye with a fork. I know what I'm coming up there to fight about. And I know what I'm going to do when I get there, buddy. And I'm going to tell you something. All this wrestling and all this dadgum fancy talk and everything's going to go right out the door. And I'm going to bring it to you, baby. It's just like I said. It's like a Taliban. I got your big bomb. I'm sending it down into the cave. I'm going to worm you boys out of that cave tonight. And I'm going to guarantee you something. You're going to have the worst night you ever had in your life. Because you're going to meet the Tennessee Stud, Daddy. All talking and walking tall and stepping high. And you're going to see Jimmy Golden Bunkhouse Buck at his best. Because there's never been a tag team in the history of professional wrestling like the Tennessee Stud Stable. One more thing, too. KC, I heard you've been masquerading up there, son, the Tennessee Stud. You think you walk tall and talk wild? Let me see what you got when it comes right down to fighting. And I'm going to tell you something, boys. This fight tonight, take wrestling off of it. Take everything off of it that makes any sense. Because what I'm going to do to you bunch of worthless good-for-nothings up there ain't going to make no sense at all to nobody except the Tennessee Stud. And I walk and tell it the way I want to, Daddy. Whew! Talk about it.
There you hear Robert Fuller talking about his battle coming to help Cousin Jimmy, going to straighten it out, going to get us. He recapped all the stuff that we did to Jimmy, what they said about their family. And kind of funny, that day we have the Mark Curtis every year. We would have the meet and greets and we'd have a meal with VIP tickets and this and that. And I was up on the stage where I could see out where all the stuff was going on. And Robert Fuller is standing behind me looking out through the curtain. And he said, oh, there's my half brothers and sisters. And there's this person that the family had came. And he looks at me and he says, don't go near them. Because they're all mad. They're all extremely mad about the stuff you've said about our dad on TV and about our family and this and that. So I thought, man, if I've got this much heat with the family, I know the people are coming to see me get killed here tonight. They're coming to see Fuller and Golden, the Stud Stable, who have had a historic run with Southeastern and Continental. Even before that, they worked for Kazanas and they worked here in the East Tennessee Territory, they in Kingsport. So their careers started. Jimmy and Robert's careers both started in East Tennessee that night, standing on the Civic Auditorium. And if you're ever up on the stage, you go up steps on opposite sides of the stage and there's dressing rooms, which I don't think they're used for dressing rooms anymore because the city's put stuff in there. But there's a ladder. If you go up the steps into this one dressing room, there is a ladder that goes way up almost into the rafters. And then there's like a doorway that you would have to climb off the ladder into up there. And Robert and Jimmy were telling me about when they were kids and came there with their granddad, they would climb that ladder and go up there and were scared, but wanted to see what was in that room. So I said, what's in the room? They said, we don't know. We never had the courage to go into it. It's too dark. But they were in a building that they had been coming to. Robert's dad promoted that building there with Mickey Barnes when Robert was a baby. And Ron's told me that when Ron was 3 to 5 years old, they lived in Kingsport.
So they all had history here, and they had history, and they, man, here's a chance. Me and Steve and KC grew up watching them. Here, we're getting a chance to wrestle our heroes. We're getting a chance to do it seriously on TV with interviews, and this is a blood feud. And here's something that did not come to me until just recently. And I, one other thing, I posted some pictures of this night, and Robert Fuller commented on them and said, what a great run, what a great trip, and I really enjoyed it. And come to find out, this was their last serious run as a tag team. They did Robert's had a few matches since then as Colonel Parker, and but this was the last ride, the last real ride of the Stud Stable. And the showdown was set. On the second night, it was me and KC with our manager, the Duke of New York, against Robert and Jimmy. And it started from the time they came through the door. We're fighting all over the auditorium. Jimmy threw me through a side door so hard, I hit that door, went across the hallway at the auditorium into one of the meeting conference rooms, party rooms they have there, and land on a table, and I look around, and the room is full of pregnant women. They're having some kind of meeting in there. So I get up, and they're all looking at me, and I said, please, leave this door open. I may be back in a minute. So I have to go back across the hall, back in there fighting with them. Jimmy Golden ends up bleeding. I'm bleeding. I use the ether to put Robert Fuller to sleep and to get the pinfall. And they end up, Eddie Golden returns after the pinfall. He jumps in to help Jimmy. They break the Duke of New York's arm. It was a wild and crazy night. And it was everything that I had ever dreamed of. I had seen these wild and crazy fights growing up. I'd bought tickets and witnessed them. And I mean, just, man, this was something. And I'm going to tell you this, both nights, Greenville and Kingsport, both nights when I come back from the ring and when my partners came back from the ring, we knew we had been in a fight. I mean, we sold real, we gave real. And I still, the scars on my head, I think the ones that you can really see came from that those two nights. But we get done. Nobody expected us to beat Robert Fuller. No one expected it. And we end up getting 3 more months out of this deal because we lead to me against Jimmy Golden, who goes back to being Bunkhouse Buck for a loser leave town match in July, which was a card that only 2 matches were announced. That was Jesse Taylor defending the Southern States title against Larry Zbysko and me against Jimmy Golden in a loser leave town for the television title. And we sold out the Kingsport Auditorium. And you can see that TV on the network right now from July of 2003. But we beat Robert. Nobody expected it, which gives us another run into midsummer. And Robert does an interview after the match on the stage with a towel holding his eyes and trying to wipe the ether out of his eyes and face. And I want you to hear what Robert Fuller had to say about old Bo James and his family after we faced each other in Kingsport.
You know something, Jimmy? It's the worst thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. Come back to my home state, Tennessee, underestimating my opponent. There ain't no question about it. I got the dadgum ether. I don't know what it is in my eyes, but I know I lost all my breath out there, and I thought for a minute my eyes had been completely put out, and it's enough to make a man know it's a bad place to come, Tennessee, now. I'm going to guarantee you this. I get an opportunity to help you out again. There ain't going to be no underestimating nothing, Jimmy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Robert, I feel like this thing is getting out of hand. With Super Summer Sizzling is coming along June the 7th. The Destroyer's been sent out to get me. That Bo James has put a bounty on me, that's fine and dandy, Bo, because I'll put my back against the wall, bring them on, brother, because I'm going to get with you one-on-one one day, my friend, and I'm going to put you out of this business. You're going to be out of East Tennessee. The Stud Stable's going to rule here in East Tennessee.
You better watch yourself with this bunch here, Jimmy. You better watch yourself careful. This is a dangerous bunch here in Eastern
Tennessee.
That's
all right. I'm going to get dangerous too, baby.
I'm sure somewhere right now somebody's sitting going, oh, he's making this podcast all about him. I thought it was Outlaws to Independence. Well, I'm the gap. I'm the bridge between the Outlaws to the Independents. My promotion is a major bridge between the two. No, this is not about me. It's about the history of independent wrestling, and I am a pioneer of it. I am. Maybe it is about me, but at times when stuff doesn't work out with John and I have to go with plan B, and that's what we got right now. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, the Southern States Wrestling Network is gone. Pivot Share went belly up, owing a bunch of us a lot of money. But YouTube, I'll be adding some stuff. Please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, share the current stuff and the classic stuff that's going up. So there's a lot of great stuff there. And you will see a lot of great wrestling fans that are no longer with us, and a lot of great wrestlers, and a lot of dear, dear people to me in my life. And one of those, one person that is a dear, dear person to me in my life is Mr. John Boucher. And he will be back with us in 2 weeks, and we're going to take you back into the pioneer days of outlaw wrestling. We're going to go way back over 40 years ago and talk about some great outlaw stuff that we have found thanks to John and his research and stuff that he looks up. And he sent me a bunch of stuff, and man, I was looking at it and I was like, wow. In June, Daniel Richards will be a guest on here. We're going to break the rule again because we're going to talk about our experiences and how the news media really works after we went viral with the progressive liberal and all the stuff. We're going to tell you about our dealings with Fox, NBC, CBS, CNN, CNBC, BBC, Swedish media, German media, Japanese media. So we truly went worldwide, and every time we thought it was over, it came back. It came back again just last year. And with a German news group that came to us, they were the second German news group to come to us. And Dan is dealing in other businesses right now. He's very successful, doing very well. And I would not dare ask him to come away from that to do this news story for the German news. And I was done with it myself. And especially after our last dealings with the previous German group, and we'll tell you about that. But he will be on here. And also in June, we're going to take a dive and go way back again. And we're going to look at some Poffo's ICW stuff. And we're going to look at something I uncovered through Kenny Short's collection of a war of words between the magazines and the Poffo family, because they were not recognizing Randy as an actual world heavyweight champion. So it's very interesting. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Knoxville split that happened in June of 79, which led to the big split and killed the territory. So we're going to dive into that a little bit too coming up. So it's a lot of great stuff just here in the next few weeks for you. Don't forget Waterloo, Iowa, Trago Stez Hall of Fame, July 17th, 18th, 19th. Check them out on Facebook. Get all the information. I will be there. John Boucher will be there. Al Getz will be there. Les Thatcher's riding with us. He will be there. Jerry Briscoe, Bradshaw, Baron Von Raschke, and so many more legendary names. Just check it all out there. I will be speaking on Saturday, one of the roundtable discussions with East Tennessee Wrestling History. And I will have some rare artifacts from East Tennessee Wrestling History that you will want to see. And I'll tell you more about that when we get close to it. But go ahead and get your reservations. Get your time off from work. Get your vacation ready. It's only an hour from the Field of Dreams. It's only an hour and a half from Buddy Holly's crash site. It's only a couple of hours from the American Pickers. So you can make a whole weekend out of it, a whole week out of it, and take a vacation through America's heartland That's what I'm doing. Looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to the showdown with John Boucher and Chad Olson. The rubber match in the wrestling history. So it's going to be wild to watch that. And looking forward to seeing it and being a part of it. And I got to keep one eye on Al Getz because you never know what he's going to do. So in 2 weeks, I will be back with John Boucher. I hope you enjoyed this. Looking forward to your feedback. Hope everybody out there is healthy, happy, well, entertained, educated. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.
Carpals up, boys, get out the room filled up with law. They came pounding through the back door in the middle of my song. And got me for possession of something that was gone, long gone. Don't y'all think this outlaw